So Lord, we pray that your words will come from David, that we will all hear what you need us to hear right now, and we'll give Dave the wisdom that he needs and the words that are your words. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. We are continuing this morning our teaching series, which is exploring what it means to be church in the 21st century. So we've just been looking at lots of different elements and dynamics of church and being church. And we're just going to be following on with that, really. We're going to be looking at one aspect of that this morning. And I hope it's a helpful talk. So, question to everybody. What is some of the terminology which is used in the New Testament with regards to God's people? Shout out. Body of Christ? Yep. Children of God? Yep. Royal priesthood?
Temple.
Temple. That's what we're looking at this morning. But what are some of the others? What are some of the others? Army? The saints? Yep. The bride of Christ? Yep. Kings? Yep. Royal priesthood. Any others? Friends of God? Called out ones? Fantastic. I've got down on my list people of God, bride of Christ, God's elect or God's chosen, the body of Christ. Paul calls us believers, disciples, brethren, holy ones, saints. And also, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. At no point in the New Testament does the Bible or Paul or any others describe the church as an institution, a place of rituals, a place of pews, denominations. That is not in the New Testament description of church at all. It's all descriptions of what? Of people. So we've said this a number of times, but we don't go to church. We are the church. Church is made up of people. Today, we're exploring this idea of people as the temple of God. Paul describes the church as its community. It's unique. We are cared for by God. We're indwelt by the Spirit. We're closely connected to Jesus. And we're a community that also has a purpose on this earth. That is the description which I think the New Testament paints of what this group, which is people, 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 people. Yeah? Good stuff. Okay. First reading, Exodus 33, verse 16.
How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?
Fantastic. So, the Jewish people, the people of Israel, had Yahweh with them, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what distinguished them, what they treasured, was the presence of God. That is why the tabernacle and the temple of God was their focal point. People would internationally pilgrimage to the temple. It was the place of learning. It was the place of feasting. It was a place of festival. It was a place of music and celebration. It was a place, the political center of their community. Why? Because they all gathered around this idea that God's present. Second reading. 1 Corinthians 6. Pete.
Or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part, is a part of the property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body.
Key thing to note from that is it says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Next reading, Roger.
This is from Ephesians 2, 13 to 22, and is reading from the Passion Translation. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you've been brought delightfully close to him through the sacred blood of Jesus. You have actually been united to Christ. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ. By dying as our sacrifice, he has broken down every wall of prejudice that separated us and now has made us equal through our union with Christ. ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us has now been repealed by his command. His triune essence has made peace between us by starting over, forming one new man, Jews and non-Jews fused together. Two have now become one, and we live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ. Through his crucifixion, hatred died. For the Messiah has come to preach this sweet message of peace to you, the ones who were distant, and to those who are near. And now, because we are united to Christ and to each other, we both have equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. So you're not foreigners or guests, even though you're non-Jewish, but rather you are the children of the city of the Holy Ones with all the rights as family members of the house of God. You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives are being built up together upon the ideal foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ himself. The entire building is under construction, is continually growing under his supervision until it rises up, completed as the holy temple of the Lord himself. This means that God is transforming each of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you.
So we've got the temple, which is this place where God is, and it's this cultural center for the Jewish people. But then Jesus comes, the great bridge builder, and creates a bridge between Old Testament and New Testament, from Jew to Gentile. That's us, Gentiles, everyone who's not Jew. And on the cross, the curtain in the temple is torn in two. So the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, is now open, access to all. That's pretty volatile, kind of paradigm shifting at that time. And Paul is writing to the Gentile believers. And what is he saying? He's saying, you're no longer aliens, you're no longer exiles, because they're now meeting God. You know, he's going around saying, actually, you know what? This God, you know, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you can know him as Father as well. You know, you can draw near to him. That's a concept which is brand new to them, because actually, hang on a second, I thought it was only the Jewish people that could connect with God in that way. So refugees, I think probably there's always been refugees, but it's kind of on our radars afresh. Sandra's just been talking about it. A refugee moves out of their country, they move into a new country, and what do they need to know? What's the biggest thing that they need in their life? They want citizenship. They want to know they're safe. They want to know they're at peace, because then they can build their life. And that is what Paul here is saying to the Gentiles. He says, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens of the saints. You guys, you're in. You've got a passport. It's not just the Jewish people who are the citizens. You're a citizen as well. So that's the first thing he says to us, the Gentiles. The second thing is, there's no longer a temple built of stone, of arches, of bricks, of curtains, of gold. The new temple is now built of spirit and flesh and Jew and Gentile, and Christ is the head, and every single one of us is a brick. Which is cool. So every single one of us, individually, as we read, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So I say to the person next to you, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And say to the room, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So there's this thing, we are individually, we hold the Holy Spirit, and corporately, We are the with the place where God dwells. This week I had a plumber round. Our boiler's broken twice, so I had him round for the second time. He's a great guy. M4 Heating, thoroughly advising to you. we just got talking about faith, and he said to me, I don't see the point of going to church. He'd been really hurt by the church that he'd grown up in Poland, and he said, I don't see the point of going to church. You know, why should I go to church? I can just pray to God at home. And at the time, I didn't have a response. I often think, I wish I was quicker at responding. But afterwards, at the time I was like, yeah, fair point. I don't know how to respond to that. But afterwards, I was thinking, actually, the reason why you turn up to church is because the presence of God meets with us in a unique way when we gather. Jesus says, when two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in their midst. So yeah, God is everywhere, but yeah, at the same time, God loves to draw close to those who want to meet him. There's something very unique about being together. We are corporately together, we are the dwelling place of God. If we are to carry the Holy Spirit, we all need to be aware of what we're carrying. I'm a fan of the old backpack. Backpacks are very useful. Backpacks come especially useful when you're in the hills, when you're on adventures. You really need to pack the right stuff. All of us have, I think, an invisible backpack. We have a set amount which each of us can carry. Some of our backpacks are smaller than others, some are bigger than others. But I think it's important that we need to be aware of what we're carrying. So, what are some of the things on a little adventures in life that waste space in our backpacks? So, if you carry the Holy Spirit, what are some of the things which would maybe hinder that?
Worries.
Okay. Just call some out.
Bricks.
Yeah.
Quick.
Oh, God. Okay. I've got guilt here. Yeah. Some of us carry guilt around on a daily basis.
Fear.
I've got fear. That's good.
Fear.
I've got anxiety brick.
Yeah. Unforgiveness.
I think I've got unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, Chris.
He's been in your rubbish bin.
Greed. The greed brick. What are some of the things which carry us, which weigh us down, that we carry around?
Pride.
Can you shout louder?
Pride.
I've got comparison.
I'm
actually afraid this is going to break my bag. And maybe that is, these things can break us.
Do I see vanity?
What else have we got?
Self-loathing. Mm-hmm. Some of us carry that around in our bags on a daily basis. And I've got lust and apathy. Naughty brick. Okay, I'm not even sure I can. Okay. Oh my gosh. That is heavy. This is heavy. This is a heavy bag. I'm not sure I could do much adventuring in the hills with this bag. But some of us, we carry around this stuff, don't we? And I think that's why Jesus says, why Paul says, we've got to cast these things off. We've got to get rid of this stuff. Why? Because it means that I can't actually walk very far. We're not free to adventure. My world gets a lot smaller. One of the reasons why God hates sin is because it makes our world so small. I heard this great definition of sin by a Jewish guy. He said, sin is the culpable disturbance of shalom. So you're guilty for disturbing God's peace. God's peace in us, in the world, one another. Why does God hate sin? Because it's destructive. So he wants to get rid of this stuff. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So we get rid of this stuff. But what are some of the things which maybe aren't just sin, but they just fill our capacity? What would some of those things be?
Work.
Okay.
Xbox.
So we've got work. We've got work. That's just in there. That's just taking up space.
Busyness.
Some of these things we have to take. You don't have to take this on an adventure in the hills. That's just a dictionary. Busyness. What else? No, this is not significant. They're just... it's an illustration of some things we take on in life, which may be kind of useful, but actually they're just unnecessary. It's unnecessary weight. It's pointless. There's no point putting it in the backpack. Some things we have to take. Some things are just unnecessary.
Materialism.
Distractions. All right, you can go in there. What else?
Insignificance.
For me, like a big one, is just knowing, like, is just saying yes to too many things. Then I end up getting so busy. And then, like, God's like, okay, you know, I want you to be really a real carrier of my peace and my presence. And I'm like, well, hang on a second. I'm maxed out. I've got no room for this. So we need to be aware of how much stuff we're putting in our backpacks. Sometimes, some of the things we can get rid of, some of the things we can't get rid of. For the purpose of this talk, I'm going to get rid of everything, okay? we need to look at what are some of the things which are maybe just taking up space in our lives, which means that we can't adventure in the way that we might like to. So, what do we want? What does God want us to carry on our... Shall I use the mic? What does God want us to carry on our adventures? Doesn't matter. It built the anticipation. Not everyone here is a... Well, firstly, we're temples of the Holy Spirit. So we whack in some living water. And the living water naturally produces, I don't know, fruit. I'm trying to think of some kind of like metaphor. Links with the vine, the internal, and grows fruit. These are some of the things which God wants us to carry in our backpacks. The love melon. This is what you can't read this, but this is the peace pineapple. Do you want to wear the backpack, Tim?
No.
No, you can't speak.
He wants the melon.
No.
The patience banana.
Yay. They're on the pineapple.
Okay, you can hold the pineapple. There you go. We've got the self. Self and control. Well, I don't even know what these are. They're tiny peaches. Well, they're kind of hairy for nectarines. They're tiny, furry nectarines. Self control. Peaches. They're tiny peaches. We've got the goodness. Pomegranate. We've got the joy orange. The kindness mango. And the gentleness pear. So with this in my backpack, I'm knackered. I can journey with this stuff. These things They energize me. I can give them away to other people. They energize other people. They give me sustenance. And they're way not as heavy. I can go a lot further on these. My capacity is increased. Whew. So we should be carriers of the Holy Spirit, individual, corporately. But not just the Holy Spirit, some of the things of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, things of sustenance and nutrition and life. If it's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit, who believes it's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit? Then it's possible to do the opposite and to be hospitable to the Holy Spirit. It says in one of the Gospels, did I write it down? No. That Jesus couldn't do many miracles in Nazareth because of their unbelief. So if it's possible to have corporate unbelief, which quenches the things of the Spirit, is it possible to have corporate belief, which encourages the things of the Spirit? Yes. So that's what I encourage us to do as a community, to take a look at our backpacks and say, what do I need to take out of my backpack? What are some of the things which are weighing me down? What are some of the things which are just filling it? What do I need to make space for? Whee! All right. To finish, the presence of God is one of the hallmarks of this community specifically. God breathed life into River Church on the River Thames, and a group of teenagers went away and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We were birthed by the breath of God. We weren't birthed in some church planting strategy or anything like that. We removed the Holy Spirit. So we've got to hold on to that and treasure that as part of our DNA as a community. But not only is it part of our DNA, it's actually just part of what God's calling the church to be. Temple of the Holy Spirit. So as part of our 21st century church, exploring that, this has to be a major component which we continue to hold on to consider, and to prioritise. Sound okay? Yes. Wonderful. So let's close our eyes. And one of the key things that we need to do, I think, for the Holy Spirit and the things of the Spirit, is just to make some space. So we'll just give some space now just for the Holy Spirit just to come and just to be amongst us and to refresh us and minister to us. I just want to ask you the question, you know, where is the Holy Spirit for you? Is the Holy Spirit in front of you or behind you or next to you or above you or around you or inside you? Maybe ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything that I just need to take out of my bag? Is there anything taking up space or just weighing me down? Just ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything that you want to put in my bag? Is there anything you want to give me?